Tonight on Arena, Marco Rowe on a new live-streamed version of his play The Approach and celebrating the centenary of Patricia Highsmith, the creator of the talented Mr. Ripley. #51551 is the text. You can tweet the programme at RTE Arena. Well, if ever a play was suited to the online days we're living through at the moment, I think The Approach by Marco Rowe certainly is suited to such a treatment. Deirdre Crotty and Aisling O'Sullivan play sisters Denise and Anna, with Kathy Belton as their friend Cora. None of them are as close as they used to be, and we find out why in the course of three conversations where they talk about the old days and catch up on the present. The Approach premiered at the Project Arts Centre in Dublin 2 years ago, and it's been revived for three performances only with the same cast to be live streamed this Thursday, Saturday and Sunday. And I'm delighted to say that writer and director Marco Rowe joins me now on the line. Good to speak with you, Mark. Did you know you had plans to revisit this play anyway? And the real hope was initially that it would actually happen in the theatre in a normal type of performance when the revival was first spoken about.
Absolutely, Sean. We were supposed to do it, I think, again in 2019, and we had some availability issues. And then we were going to do it again in 2020, and then we had other issues, and then, of course, COVID came along, and that put it to bed, just like it put so many other shows to bed as well. And then a few months ago, Anne Clark, the brilliant Anne Clark, actually came, I met up with her, she asked we could meet, and she had this idea to do a streaming version. And here we are, yeah.
Yeah, and when you started thinking about The Approach, I mean, essentially what we get are interlocking scenes, if you like, where we get two of the three characters speaking to each other at different points in time, and we get, you know, different versions of a story or the story told from another side. So you're drip feeding the information to us. When you thought about the form of the stage play itself, did it strike you that perhaps it had something in it that was particularly suited to the live stream format?
God, well, that, you know, first of all, it's a long time ago. You know, it's a few years ago now when I wrote it. So, you know, I wouldn't have been thinking about any of those kinds of things at all. I with that particular play, I kind of started with the shape of it and the structure of it without really knowing what was going to happen. I knew I wanted it to be three women, and I knew the actresses I wanted to be in it as well. But beyond that, I didn't know. And, you know, when we did it 2 years ago, you know, it was very successful and well received. But yeah, suddenly it's coming back to, it was a very strange experience. You know, it was 2 years after, so we were all 2 years older. So everyone had matured that little bit. And also we were living in a world that was just completely different to what it had been before. And a couple of the actors kept saying to me, this is the perfect time for this. This is the perfect time because it's about connection, or the desire to connect, but the inability to connect. And it's only gradually that I've come around myself to sort of agreeing with them. You know, I was quite resistant to the idea at first because of the fact that I think we can twist almost anything into you know, being the right thing for a particular situation or time. But it does genuinely feel that it very much is, you know.
But I guess there must have been times during rehearsals and when you looked at the script yourself, because you're directing this as well again this time, you know, when you looked at the script yourself, you must have seen lines in there that clearly 2-3 years ago you had no knowledge that we were going to be in the situation we were in. But how suddenly lines took on a new meaning that wasn't there before, perhaps, or wasn't it certainly intended at the time?
Well, so much of the meaning of the play changed, I think. Originally, I think it was an ever so slightly, I mean, I would hardly call it a cynical play, but maybe, yeah, a little bit more cynical than it is now, in that it was about, you know, if not people's inability to communicate, but the efforts that people make and the failure of those to communicate. But that was really about who we were as people. And what it's kind of become now is there's an element of that, but there's also an element of not being able to communicate full stop, because we can't see each other, because we're distanced from each other. And so all of that stuff really fed into how we approached it, you know.
I'm going to play a clip, and I think this is actually from the original production, so it may have changed slightly in terms of what you're doing for the streamed version, but we can talk about that afterwards. And it's a conversation that this is the very first of the scenes, in fact, I think. No, it's the second of the scenes, yeah. Cora, played by Kathy Belton, and Deirdre Crotty playing the character of Denise. I suppose what we do need to know is that Denise and Anna, played by Aisling O'Sullivan, Denise and Anna are sisters, and they haven't been talking for quite a while. There's been a bit of a falling out, and we find out about that as the play goes on. But here's the conversation that is taking place between Deirdre Crotty's character, Denise, and Kathy Belton, then the old friend, Cora.
I don't know. Whatever. I'm rabbiting on.
No, that's fine.
No, I am. Tell me something else about you.
Like what?
How's work?
Work's fine. I'm still in Corrigan's.
Right.
For my sins.
For your sins? It isn't that bad, is it? Actually, whatever happened to that one you were saying?
Fiona.
Was that her name?
Who used to be at me.
Yeah?
Fiona. Yeah, she left.
She left?
She's gone a couple of years now, actually.
Bitch. She was jealous of you, you know that?
Yeah. No, Anna said something similar.
Did she?
Hmm.
Well, there you go, you know. I mean, if two of us think it.
No, that's true.
So, what else?
What else? Bridie died.
She didn't die. When?
Fairly recently, actually.
Cora.
Hmm. I mean, she was very old now.
I know, but you must have been devastated, were you?
Devastated enough, yeah.
God. I'm sorry to hear that, darling.
Listen, she was a dog.
Still, though?
No, I know.
And come here, would you and Anna see each other a lot, so?
A little bit of black humour is always present in the plays of Marco Rowan, certainly, when we get a little bit upset about Bridie. I know the loss of a pet is a sad thing in anybody's life. I've experienced it myself, so I'm not laughing at it. But it kind of you are poking a little bit of fun, are you, Mark? Or am I putting emotions into your play that aren't there?
Well, I hate to disagree with you, Sean, but actually, no, it's in fact, you know, Cora is quite a solitary character. Mm. So although the conversation at the time that we hear it, which is early enough in the play, is quite, you know, humorous and inconsequential. In fact, we slowly discover, you know, as we go along, Cora's solitude. So in a way, the idea of this pet that she had in her life being sort of her only company or consolation becomes quite a big deal, you know.
So fellas like me who snigger when we see that earlier on feel awful when we hear some of the darknesses, yeah. Later on.
I suppose so, yeah.
that's the nature of playwriting, isn't it? In that original production, Mark, it was whichever of the two characters was there at the time sitting on a pretty blank stage, round, kind of just a big light lighting them almost in a circle either side of the table. And then a new character came in for the second scene, etc. You know, only two on stage at any one time. What happens then for this live streamed version? Will the three actors be in the same place talking to each other, or will it be a technical live streaming? Will they be in different places?
It's a great question, Sean. We've been allowed to have them in the same place because there's only two in any scene. Mm. At any given time. We've had to double, I think, the width of the table that they sit at, so that there's a 2 metre distance between them, which I think works very well, actually. But then the great thing about doing it for a live stream is that, you know, you can hear from the clip there that the play is a very kind of quiet, intimate, subtle piece, and you want the interplay between the actors to be as natural as possible. And when you do it with a proper live audience, you know you've got to take care of those technical things like projecting to the back of the to the back row of the audience, and facing that little bit more out to the audience. You're sort of sharing the play with them, etc. But with a live stream, you can bring the cameras right in, like in a TV drama or a movie, and so that means that our whole rehearsal process this time around has been quite different, and it's been about minimizing and modulating and just making things much more nuanced and subtle, kind of constantly shifting, because we know that the camera is in there and we can be really close kind of watching them. So that's kind of been an amazing experience. That's been the best part of the whole, you know, revisiting it for live streaming.
Yeah, because even again in that clip when Kathy Belton's character mentions Anna, the Aisling O'Sullivan character, who is the sister of Denise, the Deirdre Crotty character, Dervla's character says something very almost inconsequential. Oh, I say, and you think, yeah, it's what she's not saying there that's actually way more important than what she's saying. And I guess you can really pick up on those subtleties then when the camera can go in close.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's been amazing to kind of watch that happen because they really, you know, I felt the performances were absolutely fantastic first time round, but they've just gone much, much, much deeper this time round, and that's been incredibly exciting to watch. You know, and the play itself, of course, is, you know, on the surface, all it is three conversations, which for the most part feel quite friendly and inconsequential, and they're just chatting. But the actual real story of the play is in all those subtleties and in all those things that aren't being said. So we find that, you know, as each scene kind of slightly contradicts another scene, we begin to work out what's actually really happened in the play, which ends up being very high stakes and dramatic, you know.
And the importance of the live stream aspect of this, because obviously if it was a television play or a television production, you could actually do all those cutaways and do all those things separately. You could even do it in the theatre if you wanted and stitch it all together subsequent to the event. But what was the attraction of actually having it as a live stream so that it is happening live in front of those who are logged on to watch?
Well, the first thing, it's a slightly smaller thing, Sean, is that it's not really a play unless it's happening live. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, one great thing with the play is, you know, whether live or recorded, it's happening from start to finish in real time. You know, they don't get five takes and, you know, the chance to edit scenes together. They have to do the thing right through. And the only thing I can say about it is we did a practice live stream last Wednesday, and I went out of the room and I sat on my laptop with my you know, earphones in, and you did feel that, you know, there were several producers watching it, but obviously because of COVID, people were watching it in different places and locations. And you do get a really odd feeling of connection, even though you're sitting there on your own. I think it's because you're focusing so intently on this thing, watching it happen live. You also have this sense, even though people aren't beside you, but that there's some kind of digital connection happening from, you know, your room to somebody else's room to another country to whatever, that makes it feel really kind of electric and immediate. At least that's how it affected me.
Yeah, well, I must say that communal aspect of the theatre, I suppose, which is what we're all yearning to get back to, I have found in the live stream situation, you can't press, you know, the space bar and say, I'll go over and I'll put on the kettle and make a cup of coffee and I'll come back in a minute, you know, and watch the rest of it then.
Yeah.
You have to be there and watch it. If there's an interval as part of the show, fine, you can take your interval and have your cup of tea then or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you do actually maybe have to, as an audience member or as a viewer, you possibly have to put more in than you have to do in the you know, the recorded version.
It's a great point. I mean, I'm completely guilty of that kind of thing anyway. Do you know what I mean? Our attention spans have become so short or so distracted that we're constantly watching things in tiny little increments, do you know? And with the play, you're right, you can't pause it, you got to go right through. It's interesting, you know, a couple of people, family members or friends that I've been telling about it, any with kids, I've kind of said, if you're watching it, find a space that, or get rid of the kids somehow, or find a space that you're not going to be interrupted, because, you know, it really needs you to pay close attention, and, you know, pays huge dividends, obviously, but it's not one for, you know, watching in bite-sized chunks.
Yeah. What about lockdown and 2020 in general? How has it been for you, Mark?
It's been fine. I mean, you know, I suppose it's been tough for everyone. I suppose mine has been easier than some and more difficult than others. I have found that creatively, I'm very interested in people's creativity over this period, you know, because at the beginning, there was that thing, wasn't there, where everyone was saying, this is the time now, we'll all create our masterpieces. There's nothing to do but kind of be creative. But I've been working on a few little bits and pieces, rewriting pre-existing scripts for TV and stuff like that. So that's kind of kept me going sort of financially. But I found it much more difficult to do any sort of real personal creative work. I thought about this a lot, and I think it's because we can't quite see the future yet. Do you know what I mean? So there's no kind of way to plan anything in our heads. So when we write something, we're kind of writing in a vacuum, and we, you know, with no hope of having any kind of defined date that anybody can see it. Kind of creates a little bit of a sort of low level anxiety. It does for me anyway. But it's done okay, you know. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's great to be doing this.
So. And again, it's writers that have said this to me almost more so than any other art form. And it's kind of surprising because I've said it before. The cliche is the writer puts him herself or herself way up into the attic beside their desk, and they enjoy the isolation. They can get on with things. But I suppose it is only isolation if you're avoiding loads of outside activity, which you just can't do at the moment.
Very true, very true. Well, look, I write in cafes, I always have, so that's one thing that I haven't been able to do. So just the idea of, for me, it's about getting used to the isolation and the quiet and you know, trying not to go downstairs and watch TV or, you know, do any of those other distractions, eat or, you know. So I can't wait for things to get back to normal. Yeah,
you're not alone in not being able to wait for things to get back to normal. If you had to hazard a guess, when do you think it's realistic to be thinking about getting back to theatres, Mark?
Oh, don't ask me, because I'm so pessimistic about this stuff. For me, the big fear is, you know, as a playwright, not wanting to be, you know, one of two things is going to happen, right? We open the theatres and people are going to trickle back really, really, really slowly because they're still quite scared. Mm. Or else people are just going to kind of come back en masse. And it's quite tough. You know, it would be quite tough to be one of the playwrights at the vanguard kind of risking empty theatres because people aren't quite ready to come back yet, you know. But I, you know, if I was to hazard a guess, I'd say definitely after summer, maybe autumn, something like that.
Yeah, it'd be good if we could have something resembling a theatre festival that involved going to the theatre this year. Wouldn't that be something to look forward to? Well, listen, in the meantime, great to speak to you, Mark, and continued whatever type of creativity you're having. I hope it continues at whatever level you can have it continue at until the current situation passes by. But in the meantime, Mark O'Rourke speaking to us there about his play, The Approach. It will be live streamed 21st, 23rd and 24th. That's Thursday, Saturday and Sunday. And you can get further details about all of that on theapproach.ie.